So, Owen, we both started writing for the internet with ad-sponsored publications, which was the norm a decade or more ago when we started out with mm-hmm. AppStorm, an Envato company website. And over the years, it feels like that model has entirely changed, as there's obviously still ad-sponsored publications, but the trend is towards subscriptions and paid content. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about your story behind this, as you had, from writing originally for ad-powered sites, you had then built Charged as this paid subscription site. And I'm curious, mm-hmm. what got you to do that, and what was the idea there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to think about like what the times were like back then, and I was like, wow, I just realized that Substack didn't even really, it was just starting when I was starting this thing. And, you know, in hindsight, yeah. I'm like, wow, I should have just started Substack. But what I was looking at back then is I was thinking I had been running my own newsletter for a long time just as a way to like write about tech and kind of be up to date with things. And, I was looking at the market and I was like, okay, I want to monetize this thing. How can I do that? Cause I really wanted to go independent at the time, and I could do ads. I did a few ads in my newsletter, but it just didn't feel great. It was a lot more work. Like if the sales behind all of that is like the ad thing, it's a specific kind of skill, and I don't have it. And so I was like, okay, well, what if I did this more often and went straight to people and just said to them, hey, I will email you, you know, what's important or what's happened in tech today 3 to 4 times a week, and it will cost you this. And in exchange for that, you would get like, at the time it was a newsletter and you would get community access. So I was like sort of selling both of those. And I think I just did it because I was like, there was that really famous thing going around that was like, there was an article, I think it was a 1,000 true fans or something, right? As if you can get 1,000 people to pay you some money. And I was like, I did the math. I had a newsletter list of 30K, and I was like, okay, if I can get a 30K, like 5% of 30K people to pay me, and maybe this thing could have legs. And so I sort of started from that. But yeah, that was a while ago now. I think it was, in pandemic times, my memory is gone, but, it was about 3 years ago. And I had quite some subscribers. It was when I stopped doing it, it was about $3,500 MRR at the time. So it was pretty, pretty good. And I wonder if it was because I was early. Right. So it wasn't that many.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So if that was before Substack, then you were right around the time when, say, Ben Thompson was launching Stratechery, yes. where it was sort of like this.
It was just after that
wave of. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Cause I'll tell you a funny secret.
It feels like.
I actually met the Substack guys when they were still doing it in beta because I had built my own thing.
No way.
And we were talking about newsletters. Wow. Yeah, I hung out with Hamish McKenzie because he's a New Zealander as well. I hung out with him in San Francisco and we were talking about newsletters and all of that stuff. And I had built my own thing. I should have just sold that thing. But
Yeah, convince them to buy it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, so the thing was I built it for myself. Yeah. So back then, so if you look at what Stratechery uses, they use a thing called, Memberful, which sort of lets you paywall WordPress and stuff. That was sort of the best thing on the market. It was really expensive back then as well, because he was basically their biggest, like the only customer, I think, at the time. And so I thought, I can code. What if I could do this myself? And I really wanted to send it from my CMS as well. I really like this newsletter software is not made for this, right? Until like the Substacks and tiny letters of the
world. Right.
So I was looking at it. I was like, I'll just build it myself. And it was a hell of a hack job, but basically I built the, because it's sort of annoying even now, like Substack bought it all together, but before it was like Memberful would do the payments, but then you had to figure out how to make MailChimp work with it. And you had to like, it was just this nightmare thing. And so I just built something that bought it together, and that was great. It was, what was interesting is I did play around with, like figuring out if I could make, it was a plugin for a CMS called Craft CMS. I played around with like maybe releasing that.
Yeah.
It was just so much work. I just didn't do it. And I eventually accidentally got a job at Shopify. So, at some point I was like,
nice.
Am I really in this or not? And I'll tell you what the inflection point for me was. That I don't think is being talked about in the Substack discourse and stuff. I love seeing all the newsletters, but is if you are writing a newsletter like that and you're taking money from people for like a weekly or daily thing, it's very hard to take a break. You're really all in on it. Like,
yes,
you're asking for $10 a month and people want it. Like, they're really expecting it because their value perception. I don't know. There's something funky with that. Like, people like Casey Newton who are doing, like really dedicated newsletters and nothing else. I think that's fine, but it was an inflection point where I was like, I have to spend all of my time on this and really try and grow it or take this job. So at the time I took the job.
Yeah. But, right. Which is sort of the, I guess, advantage of working for a more traditional publisher. Say you're working for New Yorker, right? You're not necessarily publishing something every day. You're definitely not publishing something every day at a slower place like that. And so you were writing for a Medium publication, 1-0, right? For a few years. And so if I've got this correct, basically Medium was charging the $5 a month, but they were saying, okay, this is going to be divided between all the writers here. How did that work out for you? And of course, now Medium has changed their whole direction. But how did that work for you? And what do you see with their strategy now?
Well, it was interesting. So, I have done two different things. So when I was working with 1-0, at first I did was part of the audience thing. And so they would divide it up and like based on views or whatever. It worked pretty well. The biggest thing was like, you wouldn't, like the stability isn't there if you want to make that something you can commit to. Like it was more of a, like, I'll put something there if I have a take or if I have somewhere, like if I want to get reach or whatever, but you weren't guaranteed to get a certain amount of money. What eventually actually happened is I met the editor of 1-0, the guy who was building it. So Damon Bearers, he's great on Twitter. If you don't follow him, amazing what he did with 1-0. And they actually, for certain people, had a commitment sort of thing. So they would, I had like a retainer with them. And so it was like, I would write something for them every week and they'll pay me for it. And the idea was that like, or at least what it seemed like the plan was with 1-0 is that they would, it was a way to build the publications and like bring more value to the bundles, right? Like I think 50% of the value is like all the great stuff you can get behind the paywall. The other 50% was like, hey, here's this actually really like highly curated, highly, like we went and found the best journalists to write this stuff. It was awesome. I mean, classic Medium, right? To pivot. Like, it's like, I repeatedly said to people that like, I almost expected it to happen. It's a huge bummer. What I think what they built was really, really unique. But it's also just, it's part of this industry, right? It is a real shame though. I don't even know what Medium's plan is now. Like, I don't know what are people going to go there for.
So as a consumer, I'm curious. I love reading. I know you're in the same bucket. Do you have subscription fatigue today? And do you think this is a significant barrier for new publications going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably the most liberal in terms of like opening my wallet because I've been there, right? And I've been on the other side of it, but
yeah,
I have a limit. I'm only willing to pay for maybe 2-3 at a time. And then I'm like, and so at that point, I'm like, which one will I cancel? And so they're going to have to figure something out there. That's what I liked about the Medium model, but the Substack one doesn't solve that. I'll pay for Casey. I'll pay for one more, but that's it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar, and I have this thing with, say, Netflix. I'll swap out between Netflix and HBO depending on what I'm watching.
Same.
I could imagine that happening.
Yeah,